Now recording, if that's okay with you guys.
Yeah.
Cool. Thank you, Marcella.
Jacques. Okay.
Hey, can I just respond to something Eric said for a minute?
Go ahead.
You talked about, you know, some of us talk about organization development and others talk about organization design. You mentioned organization development, Eric. That's why I'm responding to you. You know, the difference that some people point out is that organization development is about seeing people as the problem and trying to fix them, and organization design is about engaging people to fix the system as the issue. Actually, I think generative questions cuts nicely across both.
Hmm. Oh, thanks.
That's awesome. Thanks.
Thank you, Bernard.
It's good stuff.
Okay, so Jacinthe, you want to take it from here?
Yeah, I'll just introduce myself. Jacinthe Gervais. Yeah, I'm in Montreal with Jean. I'm definitely not an expert in STS and org design. I've been working in org design the past 20 years, but I would say on and off. I would say that the past 15 years, I've been doing more OD transformation work, and very inspired by appreciative inquiry. And with a colleague, José Blaquer, in Quebec, we've been offering the training in French. I haven't had the opportunity to attend the workshop that Bernard and two other of your colleagues prepared, where you talk about appreciative inquiry, STS, or org design. So I would be curious to see, Bernard, what you're doing in that. But I've always been very curious and also appreciative of the work that's been done in org design. I've been challenged in the past few years, or I would say about 10 years ago, I got challenged by the time it took to do STS and work design, and that's probably why I just stopped doing as much as I used to do. But I'm a learner around generative questions. I find that's the most powerful stuff and the most difficult stuff, because I've been wired and trained to ask questions more in a deficit base. So although I've been using this for 15 years, I'm still every day challenged by that, and I need help of colleagues to look at the questions I'm asking and see, am I approaching it in a very generative way? So I think it's work in progress all the time. So I'm coming in with that intention of saying, let's talk about what we know. And I've been very inspired also by Jervis Bush, who's in the out west Canada, who's been doing a lot of work and writings on generative questions. So,
okay, maybe just a few words before Jacinthe gives us our first task. On the upcoming webinars, there are two major things going on at the roundtable. One is we hope to be the imminent publication of a book edited by Bernard and Pierre on STS design, and in that context we will be having a webinar not quite finalized yet, but with Mark Grovers on his part in that book, which is around information systems and the use of STS design. And for the other major event that's going on is the preparation of the San Francisco Roundtable Conference, which will be held at the beginning of September. And in that context, Eli Berneker is in the process of preparing a paper that will help us practitioners reflect on how information systems and information technology are affecting the work that we do. And I will be speaking with Eli this afternoon in regards to how we can have this conversation with Zoom. I think would be really useful in regards to getting us ready to the San Francisco conference. And if you're not going, well, I think it will still be worthwhile, because Eli, as we all know, or at least those that are privileged of us to know him, is quite a thinker and always has a lot of thought-provoking ideas and questions. So this is what's coming up. just watch your emails and the STS Roundtable website for more information on that. Webinar with Mark should be happening at the end of May, and the one with Eli should be happening probably mid June. So I'll keep you posted on that, and Marcella and I will keep you posted on that. Okay, let's get on with the show, so to speak.
Yeah, it seems like it was a TV show with a commercial that just went on. So back to our program, your regular program. I would like, so that our conversation is not as theoretical, we would like to invite you to take 2 minutes, write on a piece of paper, formulate a question that you would typically ask if you were working with anyone, with a client in any one of the four proposed components, whether it's you're working with a client regarding a customer experience process or a transformation process, or looking at the decision making for coordination and training, or even looking at the employee experience. Just go back to your real life in any of the projects you've done or you would be doing. What would be an automatic question that you would ask? And if you just want to write it down, take a few minutes. We'll give you 2 minutes to write it down, and we'll use that as we move through the webinar. Any questions on that? So you have to put yourself in, think of a client, think of an experience. What would be a question that you would naturally ask? So make sure that you write it down because you'll need it later on. Another 30 seconds. Are you okay? You all have your question?
Look, on we need to become aware. At least, I'll speak for myself. When I started this learning process, I needed to become aware, and I had Jacin help me become aware of what's underlying my questions. And you know, when you look at generative versus deficit-based questions, you see that we carry a bias. We carry a bias around what's wrong versus what could be done. And it's not just a question of saying what's wrong versus what is good. It's really a question of bias that I think is really important. So if look at, let me share with you here what you see on the screen, the cycle that explains, if you look at the top box where we talk about beliefs, you'll see that here we talk about our assumptions, our values, our judgments, our interpretations. And so if we are looking for problems, of course, I mean, we will start from that perspective. And whereas if we look at it in a different perspective, we will probably engage people in a more positive energy than if we start looking. And most of us that have done redesign work, I mean, we've all experienced that at the beginning of a process, at the beginning, say, of the work of a design team, the energy, I mean, I think people, they might feel good about being able to express something that they've been repressing, But on the other hand, at the end of the day or at the end of a given period, the energy is very different. So it, when we look at this cycle here, we see that the beliefs determine the behaviors, and which then will influence the kinds of relationships. And most of us have seen in the work that we've done with design teams, for example, whereby the very often people will feel defensive about the kinds of problems that people raise, the kind of causes that they raise, or the whether it be around the customer experience, the employee experience, whatever. But it certainly can affect the relationships, but also the outcomes, the impact. And so, I mean, we've all experienced, hopefully, those situations where we will have a group of people, call them a design team, that will come out with a series of recommendations that very often will be difficult for people to accept, because they are based on what is not going well. So the questions we ask become extremely important, because we not only do we want to redesign, but we also want to mobilize for the change. And you know, for those of us that are concerned about change management, that obviously is extremely important to get into that mindset at the very, very beginning of this of the process.
Yeah.
So here's an example, a couple of examples. To redesign an organization, we need to ask questions to understand. That is an assumption that we make as SDS, I shouldn't generalize here. I will speak in the first person singular. Typically, I will be asking questions to understand, which is very legitimate and sometimes even helpful. I'm looking for existing gaps. I'm looking for problems, for deficits in the technical and the social system. I'm looking for what needs to be fixed, what's broken. And this obviously has an impact on what I'm looking for, but also has an impact on the people with whom I am working.
Jean, if I may, one of the things that I've realized throughout the years is that when I was asking questions as a consultant, as an external consultant, and I was doing it with all my heart, and I wanted to do the best I could. And I, for me, it was so important to understand, but I was not aware of the impact my questions were having on the people. So yeah, after an interview, I would come out of the interview a lot smarter about the organization, but not totally aware of how did my question impact the people that answered the questions. So it's not only about negative and positive, but it's about also saying, what we in appreciative inquiry, there's an assumption that says that what we focus on becomes our reality. So if I help people focus on certain things, whether they're deficit-based or more generative or appreciative, I'm having an impact on how they see their reality. For me, that was a major aha about 15 years ago when I understood that. And it started to make me a lot more nervous about the questions I was asking. So it's not only the questions are not only there for to make us smarter around what we're doing with them and to make them smarter, but also it has an impact emotional and an impact on how they see their world. Anyone wants to add something to that?
You might want to look at it from the perspective of the question that you formulated that Jacinthe asked you to prepare. I mean, would you say that it is a question that is more deficit as opposed to generative? Are there other assumptions than the ones that we listed on that page that you see, either from your question or otherwise?
I have a question. Just in general. So when you're saying to formulate a question, are you making an assumption that we're working with a design team? Because there's different levels of asking questions. There's your immediate you know, the person who's going to hire you that you're working with, those people require a set of questions that I would ask, you know, I wouldn't necessarily ask a design team. So there's different stages of asking questions.
Yeah, so, I agree with you. I think the context in which this webinar was yep. prepared was in the context of organization design.
Right.
You're certainly not in a context of, let's say, coaching or doing a typical or organization development climate survey or something like that. We are, at least when we prepared this, we were clearly in an organization design mode. Okay, just saying.
But the same thing applies everywhere. It's not different, whether it's work design or whether you're doing coaching. Well, we're talking about the assumptions. You may choose to work in both worlds, not either or. Huh? We're focusing on polarizing today just for the sake of it. And there's more there. We always live in a paradox, so it's not always either or. But it's whether it's with management, whether it's at the beginning of a project, whether you're working with a redesign team, same thing applies. Bernard, I saw that. Would you add something to that?
No, I just was thinking that there was probably... I agree with everything you're saying, Jacinth, of course, but I was thinking there was an assumption behind the question that Chiara was asking, and I was curious about that assumption. What made you ask the question?
Well, I wanted to understand the context that I have to. So we're being asked for a task, like what kind of questions to formulate.
Yeah.
So my mind went, well, okay, I need to know the context I'm in. Is it for organizational design? So then my question, even if they're generative, hopefully they are, it would sound different than if I'm, you know, in the process of interviewing. And I agree with Jacinthe that that those generative questions are always applicable and important. But what I'm trying to understand here, our task here is, we're thinking about organizational design. So I'm going to formulate a difference I'm going to formulate a difference. So if I'm going to go for an interview with my client, I might ask it differently. So for example, one of the things, I'm thinking of a client after several interviews and questions, one of the things he wanted to let go was some tasks as an owner of the organization and as a partner. And I asked him if he was actually ready and how did he feel about letting go of some of his power. Now, I don't know, that sounds a bit deficit, and it could be a little bit of both, But, that's very different than if we're a team, an organizational team, a design team. It would be completely different. I wouldn't ask that kind of question.
It's a great scenario, but I would again just repeat what Jacinthe said. I think we could ask those questions in a sort of, generative way or... what's broken and what's wrong kind of way.
I agree. Now that I agree. I have no qualms about that. I'm just trying to understand. And I think Jean answered my question and I understood it quite well.
Yes.
This particular webinar is designed for organizational teams, design teams.
Yeah. So,
great.
Yeah. And that's why we were asking you to formulate a question around one of the four processes. The customer
exactly.
experience, employee, and that was the thinking. But you raise a very good point, Yael. Other assumptions?
Just to challenge what I thought was an assumption about, an organization design team can be 9 people or 900 people.
Exactly.
So, it's not the size that matters. It's the focus of what the team is focusing on that matters. Right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And I think that's why when we started looking at this webinar and defining generative questions, and we'll get to that, just give a definition, we really have to go back to our assumptions. Because if we're not aware, it's not bad or good, it's just being aware of what are the assumptions behind the questions and how we ask our questions. If we don't do that, then it's just, we'll be technical about it, but our reflexes and our assumptions will bring us back very quickly to our reflexes. So just the more we're aware of what are the assumptions, and I've worked with people who are just not capable of thinking that you can do, whether it's org design or organizational development or coaching, without asking what's wrong. Well, these are assumptions we have. Just as long as we're aware of them.
So, Justin and Jean, you're wanting us to respond to how these assumptions may correspond to our own practice, our own experience. Is that fair?
Well, yeah, but also, are there other examples of assumptions that we make as right. As people that do organization design?
Right. Well, okay. I was just going to go ahead, Kit.
No, it's okay. Go for it.
I was just going to say that these are very common in my own experience, the ones you have up here. But what I'm also asking a lot about is what are the opportunities? Because we live so much now in a very dynamic environment, so we've got to be continually thinking about not just what is, but what could be.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, and Bert, I mean, typically that's the kind of question that I do ask. You know, where how would you like it to be, kind of thing. Yeah, yeah, and that clearly is a generative question. Yeah.
Anything else?
Yeah. Other assumptions?
I think that one of the things that I find interesting and that internally I grapple with a lot is just even the assumption of what generative means. So when I first signed up for the webinar, when I thought of the word generative, I was thinking of the outcome or the impact on the individual or the group. So that's sort of where my head goes, which means that the playground or the landscape for the questions that I ask sometimes remains ambiguous, in the sense that I don't think that there's a black or white way of looking at what deficit and generative means for a question, because it's really contextual, and it depends on the cultural specifics of the group that I'm working with. So, for instance, there might be a group who's, and not to get too buried in down the rabbit hole, but if I'm working with a group who uses appreciative inquiry as a way to stay resistant to something, as opposed to another group who uses a certain type of negativity to stay resistant to something. And there's lots of moments that I can think of for my own self where there's been an extremely generative response that my system has had to a question that has been, what is going on with you now? And there's been other moments where I've had an extremely generative systemic response as an organism to questions that are about what could be, right? And so for me, I think that there's that question that I have around even like the assumption of what a generative question is. I'm not trying to get too meta here, but for me, I'm thinking, you know, how do I actually understand what impact these, I mean, I love, Justin, what you were saying about that aha moment. Like, it's not just about understanding and collecting information. There's a relational aspect. There's molecules that have shifted once a question's asked. It's just like, I don't want to make the assumption that certain questions result in certain molecules being shifted, whereas other ones don't. I don't know if I'm making any sense to other people, but it's just something that is on my mind.
Thank you, Kit.
Yeah, I would say maybe Pierre and Jean, maybe we're going to find this out when we go into more of the exercise, but understanding what we mean by generative is part of the learning, perhaps, for all of us in all this, right?
Yeah, and I would love just to get into the conversation you started, Kit Malo, but and there's a lot of stuff there, but just because we only have an hour and a half, we'll move on, but don't forget, let's get back to it later on, if you don't mind. So I don't want to avoid it, because I think you're raising some very important questions. Just to provide some kind of a background around what we mean with generative, and we talked about generative and appreciative question. I think there's a lot of work that has been done in the past, I don't know how many years, 5, 10 years, bringing some perspective around appreciative questions. Most of you, Bernard, the first workshop I attended on appreciative inquiry was with you in Ottawa a long time ago. And so appreciative inquiry has been around for almost 30 years, or over 30 years, in fact. And one of the concern that was raised was around appreciative is not only about being positive. It's not only about looking at the bright side and not talking about what's not working. And some writers, authors, brought up the notion of generative questions, where we want to generate energy, we want to generate action. So it's not only around just about people and emotions, but it's get, and I guess people, we need people and emotions to get actions and to get results. But it's how can we generate that level of energy and that level of action. So I just want, we wanted to come back with the basic assumptions around appreciative inquiry that for me are really important in what I do now, is just the fact that one of the assumptions is what we focus on becomes our reality. So when I'm asking a question, I'm helping people focus on some things. So I just need to be aware of that. So what is the reality we're focusing on? Change is happening as we are asking the question, hence the importance of the questions we choose to ask. I was trained, I have a master's in OD from Pepperdine, love that program, still love what I learned there, but I was trained 25 years ago with the notion that in order for people to change, they need to understand the gaps. So, and my questions around the gaps are not necessarily generating a lot of energy. Most of the time it's generating something, but it's generating more resistance than energy. So that's another assumption for me that is important, that I need to keep in mind when I'm looking at generative questions. The third one is, it is important to name and claim what's working as well as what needs work. So just so that we know what foundation we have to build whatever future, whatever design we want to work on. And the fourth one, images of the future are powerful. So there are some, so I'm here in that page, we're mixing some assumptions and some principles on AI, but if we agree with the assumption that we can only move in the direction of what we can imagine, well, let's put our energy on imagining where we want to go. And the other assumption is, with our questions, we shape the world. It's Merrily Adams who wrote a book on how to ask questions, and this is one of her quotes. There's a lot of power in how we ask questions, because it's the questions we ask that brings people to come up with ideas, solutions, see the opportunities. And the fifth one is, creation of positive emotion is a vital step in the change process. So it's not only about understanding with our mind, but it is also about generating positive emotion. Anything you would add to that list of assumptions?
A very minor thing, Justin. I would say that with our questions, we see and shape the world.
Yeah.
I think our questions really affect what we see and what we don't see.
And that's where, as consultant, internal or external, we have a lot of power.
Yeah.
We really give a direction. Sometimes we say, oh no, we're just neutral, we're just asking questions. But whoa, with the questions we choose to ask, we're really giving some direction. What people see and feel. Anything else you would add to that? So, Chiara?
Kiara, yeah. So one of the things that, like, assumptions are really important to me, and I love the direction that you're going with this, and or how you do your work. And so for me, for example, if there is a design process that's happening, and in trying to stay positive, so if someone gets stuck, for example, or there's a sense of being stuck, the questions that my assumptions, like, fall, you know, I create assumptions and then the questions that come from there. And so, for example, questions for connecting ideas and to finding deeper insights. So what are the questions that I can ask that can generate more deeper insights if we do get stuck? And I think that really addresses that positive feeling, I think. And And so then, for example, questions for connecting deeper insights might be, what's actually taking shape here in the center to bring something more forward, rather than saying, oh my gosh, we're stuck, you know? And that's the deficit. So I'm actually learning as I'm speaking.
That's great. Great insights. Thanks for sharing. Jean, do you want to... Anything else you would like to add? If you were to revisit the question you wrote earlier as an opening question, what are the assumptions behind the question you have? On what assumptions were your question based? And this is not a trap here. There's no right or wrong answer. It's just about getting some insights about naturally when you write a typical question or when you think of a typical question, from where are you coming? Anyone wants to share? We won't go around to hear all your answers, but any insights on when you go back to your revisit your question?
Sorry, I can kind of share my my question. My question was, how might we evolve our organizational structure to improve the employee experience at our company? And I guess I look at that through two lenses. I think the concept of improvements is, in some minds, suggests that there's something wrong, versus the whole concept of, actually, we might already be doing well, but we always want to be in a constant state of improvement. So I guess it based on who's answering that question, maybe even who's asking the question, is when we ask, how can we improve something, is there an assumption underlying that something's wrong, or that actually we're doing okay, but we want to continue to evolve?
Good point. Thank you. Other reflections on the question that you put together?
If I may, I think it's David Cooper Ryder who says that there's no neutral questions. So sometimes, how can you improve? We can say, well, it's very neutral. They can talk about what's working but again, depending on the culture. Someone earlier was referring to the culture of the organization we're working with. Well, sometimes depending on the culture, that neutral question, well, the assumptions that culture might bring people to go directly into the more deficit-based or negative way to answer it. So it's very interesting. Sometimes we feel they're neutral questions, but they're not neutral.
Yeah, and so we're in the process of actually conducting a survey right now, and we asked a question that was similar to that. But it's amazing when you ask somebody how they can improve, how we could improve something, how they go to then listing everything that's wrong versus saying imagining a future versus going to, okay, these are the five things that are wrong here. So
I could say, tell me what's going on here. So that's fairly neutral. I'm not telling tell me what's not going right or tell me what's going right. But if I just tell me what's going on, but for the past 10 years we've been asking you, what are the problems? Chances are that you'll just poof, dive right into the problem. Thanks.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Could we have other reflections on the question that you put together?
Well, I'd say very quickly, Jean, that the question that I had in mind, or have in mind, does rely on the assumption that we need to understand the process in order to do any redesign. What are the dynamics in the transformation process that we're dealing with? So that's an assumption that I'm making in terms of being able to redesign. The work, which is one of the, well, that's the first assumption that you had up on your list, I think, Jason.
What we focus on becomes our reality?
No, it was earlier on. Yeah, this first one here. To redesign, we need to ask questions to understand. So I was making the assumption that we need to understand as well as we possibly can the sort of dynamics that we're dealing with in the transformation process that we're working with in this redesign. So the question that I came up with was really trying to flesh out some of those dynamics.
Oh, interesting.
You know, Bert, I mean, when we wrote that, I mean, that was my first assumption. I want to understand this organization so I can help it. And that is not entirely false, but then to what extent do I need to understand? And while I'm doing this understanding, what kinds of questions am I asking in order to understand?
Right, exactly.
And so you can see where I'm going with this, right? I mean, it's very easy to get into deficit-based questions. Mm-hmm. So, but there's no doubt, in my mind at least, that we need to understand. But in what perspective?
I was just thinking, Jean, that it would be fun, maybe you've already done this, to put together a bunch of questions for each of the four areas that you mentioned. You know, sort of sample questions.
We have done that, Bernard. And
just to start.
We've started that, okay? And I actually, back in December, conducted a workshop here in Montreal on that with people that are more focused on AI than they are on STS design. So we will share that with you in a few moments, the list of questions that we've got a comparative approach. If you look, we've got to move on here. I just want to show you something here. We want to create transformation. So how can we use questions to engage employees in meaningful generative conversations? And here are a couple of...
Go back, because I think the last part of that statement or that question is really important. How can we engage them in meaningful generative conversation that would already embody the organizational design we want?
Good point.
Better understand the old organizational design.
Yeah. We clearly want to focus on where how to help these people move on. So if you look at let me just cover this slide here. Generative questions give way to conversations that help people look at their work and organization differently. They influence both how people think and how they take decisions. They are conducive to creativity and exploration or identification of new possibilities. They generate compelling images that people want to act on. And as Jacint was mentioning, this is really important. And they also generate curiosity. In other words, you'll see later on, one of the intriguing things about generative questions is that they are surprising. They create curiosity. Here's a couple of examples. Or one example, I should say, and this is based on the transformation process that most of us in organization design are quite familiar with. The deficit-based question is, what are the recurring problems you encounter in preparing the customer's products and or services? In other words, we're looking at variances, right? So here's a generative question. Imagine a world where variances, and obviously we need to explain that, are experienced as an opportunity to demonstrate our expertise. Our expertise, of course, we're talking about the people doing the work. Explain how we as a team share the tasks to leverage these variances. So in other words, we all understand that a variance in a system is something that cannot be eliminated. It comes from the external environment most of the time. And so if people understand that, then variances could certainly be looked at in a different manner. So this would be an example of a deficit versus a generative question that is really central to a lot of the organization design that we do, especially with STS thinking. Any comments or reflections on that, or do you agree with this?
I love the question. I think it's fantastic. You know.
Yeah, I agree. This is not exactly the question that you thought of, but it's similar and. I like the way you've presented it here. Very, really interesting.
So we're not avoiding variances.
Of course not.
But instead of having people focus on variances almost as something that's in the way of the work we do, we try to shift that.
Well, yeah. What I'm seeing in this, in the two questions distinctly, so if we look at the deficit-based question here, what occurs in the people who could occur is guilt, and guilt creates resistance. Whereas the generative questions, it's inspiring for me to answer the question because I have the answers. You know, as someone working a part of a team, I can raise my hand and saying, yes, I can work. And suddenly, you know, there's wonderful energy in the molecules, as Kit mentioned earlier, shift, and the energy is different. So to me, that's important, is understanding how we as facilitators raise guilt in people.
Yeah. And you know, I mean, when you're asking a group of people that do the work, this question, there's also a recognition there of their expertise, which is something that is often, you know, not done or not sufficiently done. So it becomes a very, very powerful way to ask a question.
So we have about a half an hour left. Here's what we would like to do. We would like to give you a task, break out in three groups, and come back and see what kind of questions you will come up with. And then we did this exercise with Jacques Tremblay, Jean, and myself. We looked at the four processes that Jean was talking about, and we just brainstormed around three, four questions. So we'll look at that together afterwards. And Bernard, our wish would be to have this list grow. So have you work on these four processes and other whatever, and start this sharing of what could generative questions look like that we could use in our work. So it's just a start. Here's the task. So we'll break out in a few minutes. Using the question you developed at the beginning of the webinar, how can you make it even more generative? So we're not assuming that it was not generative. So it doesn't matter where you start from. How can you make it more generative? So take one. You'll be in groups of probably three or four. Two, three, or four. We'll see what the system does. So take one, work together on try to reformulate the question so that it's more generative. And if you still have time, take a second one. And then we'll come back together. Marcella sent you, so hopefully you have access to your computers. But earlier, just at the beginning of the webinar, Marcella sent you these slides. So the task. We also, just for the sake of it, just to give you a hand, because we don't have a lot of time, there's a great article that was written called The Art of Powerful Questions by Juanita Brown and David Isaac. And they talk about how we start our questions. And the yes and no, either or questions are less more powerful than the what, how, and why, as long as the why is not the blaming why. Why did you do this? But it's more the why, understanding the meaning and the intent. We also sent you a slide with a checklist of what are the qualities of generative questions. So generate energy, forward movement, surprising. They take people back to memories. They allow people to build relationships when they share these stories. These questions force us to look at reality a little differently. They change how people think. They are thought-provoking. And they stay with the participants afterwards. So you have this list. It was sent by Marcella. So we'll break out for, let's say, can we say 10 minutes instead of 15 minutes? We'll break out for 10 minutes, work at least on one generative questions, and then we'll come back and we'll ask you to share. Does that work?
Jocelyn, can you ask Marcella to send me the slide? I haven't got them.
Yeah, or we can send it to you, Lise.
Okay, merci.
Okay. So any questions before we break? So I'll break. We'll break into three groups. So there should be three to four person per group. Okay? Let's go. So we'll be back in 10. Okay. Whoops. Let's see. You should be. So you will have an invitation. Good. Lise, as-tu reçu ton invitation?
Oui, j'ai répondu oui. Mais là,
okay, so we're with a group with Marcella, Derek, and so let's work on the question. Derek, Jacques, or Lise, let's choose one of your questions, because I'm part of a group.
Lise, okay. I just sent you the document. Did you get it?
Je vais dire ça. Oui, merci.
Okay, so Lise or Derek or Jacques, let's pick one of your questions because I don't have one.
Yeah, sure. I can just read mine. Mine was focused on the employee experience. Was how might we evolve our org structure to improve the employee experience at our company?
So how might we? I'll just write it down for myself.
Sure.
How might we?
How might evolve our organization structure to improve the employee experience at our company?
Okay. So, given if we go back to the qualities of the generative questions, what can we add, change to this question so that it's even more generative? Any thoughts?
Can we ask a question about whoever we're talking to talk us about positive employee experiences they've been having? I don't know, we have to put the structure, but could we ask them to identify something they have lived, maybe in another area that could bring us the information we're looking for?
So how could we? That could work. How could we state it? Derek, what are you looking for when with your question? So if we looked at what Lise is saying.
Yeah, I think it's actually an activity we're going through right now where we're trying to think about the employee experience from joining the company from the interview process to joining the company through their benefits and the life cycle. So if you've got what we're understanding is that the experience is very different for different people. Sometimes it's very positive, sometimes it's not so positive. So how do we create that consistent experience? Not necessarily that my experience will be exactly the same as yours, but that it's a positive experience and an engaging experience.
Okay, positive, engaging. Okay, so let's try to reformulate with given what Lise and what you just said.
I liked the transformation question that was put up in the email around, and I think you put it up on the slide around imagine that concept struck me as very powerful. So the concept of imagining trying to remember what the exact words were, but that for me was quite powerful. Imagine like a world or imagine an experience.
The formulation of that was imagine a world where variances are experienced as an opportunity to demonstrate our expertise, explain how we as a team share the tasks to leverage these variances.
So what would be interesting is let's try to reformulate, work with your question, try to see how we can reformulate it in the imagining, so putting ourselves in the future, and also formulating it in the way Lise was suggesting about going back to memories, because these are two pieces that can be very powerful.
Mm-hmm.
So your question was talk about positive employee experience. I don't have the rest. Can you write it down?
To start in the company, or do you remember something positive of your when you first joined the company, and how does that stay fresh today?
Mm.
Or and then taking it to something of the future, or how can you get more of that?
Yeah.
So we're back in the large, not exactly what people are coming back. Been interrupted. So how do?
Yeah.
Did everyone find a groove?
We did. Well, I did.
I mean, that we lost for a few seconds, but we caught up.
It was great. By the way, will we get a list of all the emails for people? Because I was in a conversation with Kit and I got cut off, so I want to be able to contact her after the session.
Kit, do we have your permission?
I have everyone's information.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, that would be great. That would be great. Yeah, I was really, I lucked out. I got Bernard all to myself, so I was able to glean a lot of really cool info.
Cool.
Jean,
you want to take
it on? Okay, so could we have a couple of examples of the kinds of changes you made? The question you can put.
John, I'm having a little bit of trouble hearing you.
Okay. My question was, I'd like to hear how it is that you changed the initial question to a more generative question, not assuming, of course, that it might have been at the very beginning. I'd just like to have some examples that we can share.
Does it sound better?
Yes.
Not all at the same time.
I can share mine. So I don't think it's a final question yet, but a big thanks to the group members that I was working with in terms of helping to get there. So I had mentioned in our group that I enjoyed or I really like the Imagine a Future or Imagine a World kickoff. So that's kind of how I've reframed it, how we've reframed it really. So Imagine a Future where all employees have a best class experience no matter when they join the company. And then the second part of that question then, well, that's kind of the setup. One of two options right now, but tell me a great experience since you've been with us. What made it so great and who contributed to that? Or tell me about a moment you finished your day with a feeling of satisfaction after working with a client.
Good. Nice. So the concept, the notion of improvement is gone, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. It really is focusing on those kind of wow moments, if you will, which I really like.
Yeah. Somebody else?
Kit and I talked about problems being negative deviations, and what you're asking people is to learn from the positive deviation. That's another, you know, way of thinking about it.
Wow, that's nice.
Powerful.
Yeah. I like the positive deviation. I like that. Thank you.
Kiara, can you speak for our group? Because we had some very similar wordings, I think.
Yeah, we got through three of them.
Wow.
But I don't know if I broke them down really well. What was interesting is that most of our questions were quite neutral, and Helen was a really wonderful guide to pointing that out, that they may be neutral, but they're not generative necessarily. And so we actually, Bert, you wanted to show just how we went from your question to... What are the key?
So my question, working with a group of software designers, for example, project team, was to explore with them what are the key choice points that they need to resolve in order to be able to deliver the quality of product they want to be able to provide their customers, and that was, seen as fairly neutral. But in our discussion, what we felt was that it would be more generative if I were to start with, in order for you to really provide the quality of product that you want to be able to provide your customers, what are the key choice points that you need to resolve?
And would you keep the word resolve?
Yeah.
Could be a different word, The basic lesson we were learning was the energy would come for focusing more on achieving something for the customer of quality rather than focusing on the process. The process being the means to the end, and begin with the end. Focus with the end in mind, if you like.
And I think your question is very powerful. My only comment would be, it would be interesting to try to see what other word you could use instead of resolve. Maybe you'll end up with resolve anyway. But what it does for me, resolve brings me back to problem solving. Sometimes it's interesting just to play with words and say, what other words could we use if it was not resolved? And maybe you'll just keep it.
Right.
I think actually, with Bert's question, you could just drop the word resolve. And you could end it with, what are the key choice points?
Sure.
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah. Or, to just kind of take it one step further, what if you were to ask, what are the key conversations we'd be having if we were having all the right conversations that lead to customer delight or something like that?
Yeah, that's that might get us to a similar place, maybe.
Maybe one last example, because time is constraining. Another example?
Okay, let's move on then. We want to show you some of the questions that we came up with. In regards to the customer experience, we have the based questions. What are the needs we meet and those we don't meet? What is the customer turnover rate? Who are the customers that leave and why? And what do customers appreciate more in our competitor's service or product offering? So if we look at that differently, generative questions could be, tell me about a recent satisfactory experience you had as a customer where your needs were fully met or even surpassed. What made it possible? Another question could be, tell me about a recent satisfactory experience you had as a customer with one of our competitors, where your needs were fully met or even surpassed. What made that possible? And who are the unconditional customers and why? And finally, the last question, how do our customers best use the product or service that we provide? So those are examples of generative questions for the customer experience. Let's move on to the transformation process. We talked about the first one, recurring problems. The second one would be around, how would you like things to be carried out? What are the gaps that need to be filled? So here we have a bit of a neutral kind of questions. But then again, we are implying that there are gaps in the first part of that question. What do you know about the work being accomplished in other departments about your products or services?
Again, that's a neutral.
Again, that is a neutral question. But depending on how people interpret it, they are likely to interpret it negatively, because typically that's the way most organizations' cultures work. So in regards to generative questions, the first one you already saw, what are the recurring yet unpredictable events or variances that occur in the preparation of our products? Imagine a world, we already talked about that one. What variances are the best opportunities to improve themselves? How would you transform the way things are carried out? Describe the ideal transformation process. This I know that a lot of us already do that. What do you value most in the way your team accomplishes the tasks required to deliver? And here you'll recognize that we're addressing several the organization design issues here, but we're doing that in a positive manner. For the future success of your company, if you had a magic wand and were able to change one thing in the way things are done, what would it be? Okay, that is another way of. And here I'm thinking of Eric, in regards to imagine the future. The magic one thing is certainly another powerful way of doing the same thing.
Let's look at management and coordination. Deficit-based questions would be, what are the recurring problems you would prefer not to have to look after on a daily basis? And this is basically a question for managers, mostly, I would say. Name one or two important decisions that were recently made by management where you should have been involved. What was missing in the decisions that were made? Deficit, generative. What, in your opinion, are the value-adding contributions only you can have as a manager and that could make a big difference? Name one or two important decisions that were recently made by management. How could you have contributed to a better decision? Okay, you'll notice the nuance here in regards to the question on the other. How could you have contributed to make a better decision?
And even the better, we could reword that.
Yeah.
It's a work in progress.
What are the contributions you have that consolidate your organization's strategic position? You know, I mean, yeah, clearly that question is aimed at managers, but it could also be aimed at team members. What are the contributions you make that are very important for you? Okay, and here we could look at it from the perspective of either the day-to-day or strategic, and it could be for a team member, a person doing the work, or it could be for a manager. And finally, the last part on the employee experience, what are the variances you see in the day-to-day basis and how are you involved in managing them? We are clearly problem-focused here. What are the competencies missing in order to better perform your job? Okay, and a gap here. In what ways are you disappointed in the way you work with your team? And if I look at it differently, in a generative manner, how important is it for you to work collaboratively as a team? So you're asking this to a team. How would you look, what would it look like if you were to do more of it? How would it help you in your day-to-day work? Describe a situation in which you truly experience collaborative work. What were the conditions that made this success possible? And what are the competencies you wish to grow? In what situations are you able to use or develop them? So these are examples of generative questions in comparison with deficit case.
But just to build on what you were saying earlier on, it would be great to have an hour and a half on working on questions and trying to see what people can work with. That would be my dream, my wish.
Yes. Okay. Other comments? I mean, we're just a few minutes away from closing this webinar. Any other comments in regards to the questions that I just quickly reviewed?
Just wondering if the two of you would be willing to share those questions with us.
Of course. I mean, the PowerPoint presentation will be on the website.
Great.
It will be there.
Thank you. Okay.
And don't hesitate to share the questions you will come up with.
Yeah,
absolutely.
What we can do is help each other. For me, it's always a challenge to write a good question, and I rely very often on what others have done before just for inspiration. And
yep.
So two comments, Jason. I think you and Jean did a terrific job with this webinar. I think it was very well presented and organized.
Thank you.
And one of my expectations was to learn more about Zoom. And I think that the video dimension, like as you said early on, Justin, really did, I think, generate. It was a generative factor in terms of participation.
Yeah.
As opposed to what often happens with chat or audio. So I really like the format. It's great.
Yeah.
I mean, we have a generative and closure. What is one takeaway to share? Bert, I think we've heard yours.
Yes. Sorry.
I'd like to hear others.
My takeaways are your example questions of generative questions around organizational design. I think they're really wonderful. Thank you.
I do too. Ditto on that, and I really appreciate your willingness to share them. Thank you.
Thank you, Helen.
Yeah, I really appreciated so much what I deemed as a generative or actually neutral, and I feel very inspired to really be a continuous student of generative questions. So it's very insightful. Thank you both.
I think we all are. It's not an easy task. Not an easy task. Other takeaways before we end this?
I've seen those questions because I was in the meeting we're referring to, but I like the fact that Jacinthe and Jacques came back on the assumptions we have when we do have those questions. Mm-hmm. It made me think it in a different way. We may have discussed it in the previous, but it struck me like, oh yeah, I need to be careful of those assumptions before I get to try to transform those in a generative way, because if I'm not aware, I will transform them, but with the assumption that I may not be the appropriate one.
Yeah. Thank you, Lise. Thanks. I mean, that's to me though, the whole issue around the assumptions is a below the belt question.
Yeah. Oh, I like the below the belt.
Okay, I just want to point out.
Anyone else that we didn't hear?
It was great. Thanks. Definitely lots of food for thought, and it's really helpful to always be mindful of how important questions, all questions are. So thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Okay.
But you know, there's a bibliography, a very short one. There's a lot more to read on the questions, but it's a good start. You'll have that with the slides.
Great.
I just want to conclude by thanking Jacinthe. She has been she and Jacques that we didn't hear, but he's there. I know he's there. She and Jacques were really great inspirations to doing this, and so was Lise Godreau, who helped me and along with Jacques prepare this getting into this whole issue around generative questions and how we can use generative questions in organization design. I want to thank them, or thank the three of them very, very much for helping me with this. Merci beaucoup. Okay, so you'll be hearing from Marcella and I for the next webinars, hopefully one at the end of May and the other in mid-June. And we'll see you soon. Take good care of yourselves. Bye-bye.
Please,
you. Bye-bye.
Please send me the questions. Please send me whatever you created, whatever questions you created, so I can upload them.
That would be great. Great.
Will do.
Awesome. Thank you.
Add them to the slides.
Yes. Yes. Merci. Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Cool.
He's happy.
Okay,
il a bien travaillé.